Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Human Geography for Dummies by Kyle Tredinnick, is an introductory educational guide to the field of human geography, written for students and general readers who need a clear starting point. The book explains how human societies organize space, adapt to environments, form cultural landscapes, move across regions, and create political and economic systems. Rather than treating geography as memorizing place names, it presents geography as a way of asking why social patterns appear where they do and how those patterns change over time. Tredinnick brings classroom experience from secondary and post-secondary geography teaching, including work relevant to AP Human Geography preparation, which shapes the book's practical and instructional tone. As part of the Four Dummies series, it aims to make a broad academic subject approachable without removing the core concepts. Its purpose is not to replace a full textbook, but to clarify essential ideas, vocabulary, and frameworks that help readers understand human activity in spatial context. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, human geography as a spatial way of explaining society. A central contribution of Human Geography for Dummies is its treatment of geography as a method of analysis rather than a list of maps or locations. Human geography asks where human activities occur, why they are arranged that way, and how location affects social life. This approach helps readers connect everyday observations, such as neighborhood change, migration, language distribution, or political borders, to larger spatial patterns. The book positions maps and regions as tools for interpretation, not ends in themselves. This distinction matters because many beginners assume geography is mainly descriptive. Tredinnick instead emphasizes that human geography investigates relationships among people, places, environments, and institutions. A city is not only a dot on a map, but a concentration of jobs, infrastructure, social groups, land uses, and political decisions. A border is not only a line, but an expression of power, identity, and territorial control. By introducing the spatial perspective early, the book gives readers a framework they can apply across the field. It also supports students who need to interpret patterns on exams, where recognizing spatial relationships is often more important than recalling isolated facts. Secondly, human-environment interaction without reducing people to climate or terrain. The book introduces human geography through the relationship between people and the natural environment. But it avoids the simplistic idea that physical conditions alone determine culture or development. Human-environment interaction is more useful when it is understood as a two-way process. Environments create opportunities and constraints, while human societies transform landscapes through agriculture, settlement, transportation, industry, and technology. This perspective helps explain why similar physical environments can support different social outcomes and why human decisions can produce long-term environmental consequences. For beginners, this is an important corrective to overly narrow views of geography. A river valley, for example, may support farming, trade, or urban growth, but the actual result depends on technology, political organization, markets, and cultural choices. The book also frames environmental issues as geographic questions, because they involve scale, distribution, vulnerability, and uneven impact. Climate, resources, land use, and hazards affect people differently depending on wealth, infrastructure, governance, and location by presenting environment as part of a broader human system. The book helps readers see geography as a field that connects physical settings with social decision-making rather than separating nature and society into unrelated categories. Thirdly, cultural landscapes, identity, and the geography of meaning, Human Geography for Dummies, gives attention to cultural geography, a core area of the discipline that examines how beliefs, languages, religions, customs, and identities vary across space. The importance of this topic lies in showing that places are not neutral containers. They carry meanings created by the people who live in, move through, and represent them. Cultural landscapes include visible features such as architecture, sacred sites, street patterns, memorials, commercial signs, and settlement forms, but they also reflect less visible social practices. Understanding culture geographically means asking how cultural traits spread, why they persist in some regions, and how they change through migration, communication, trade, or conflict. Or, this framework is especially useful for students because it links abstract concepts such as diffusion, region, and identity to observable patterns. It also encourages caution against treating cultures as fixed or isolated. Cultural geography shows that identities are often layered and dynamic, shaped by local traditions as well as global influences. In an introductory guide, this topic helps readers interpret diversity without reducing it to stereotypes. It explains why human geography is concerned not only with where people live, but also with how people attach meaning to place. Fourthly, population, migration, and urbanization as connected spatial processes. Another important theme is the connection between population geography, migration, and urbanization. These topics are often studied separately, but the book presents them as related processes that shape human settlement patterns. Population distribution influences where cities grow, where services are needed, and where political representation or economic pressure may increase. Migration changes the composition of both origin and destination regions, affecting labor markets, cultural diversity, housing, schools, and family networks. Urbanization then concentrates many of these changes in metropolitan areas, where land use, transportation, inequality, and infrastructure become central geographic concerns. The value of this combined view is that it helps readers move beyond simple descriptions of population, increase, or movement. Geographic analysis asks why people move, which routes they follow, what barriers affect them, and how movement transforms places at multiple scales. It also shows that demographic patterns are not only numerical. Age structure, birth rates, mortality, and household composition have spatial consequences because they influence the demand for resources and institutions. For students preparing for human geography courses or exams, this topic provides a practical bridge between data interpretation and real-world social change. Lastly, political and economic geography through territory, power, and development. The book also introduces political and economic geography, areas that explain how power and resources are organized across space. Political geography examines states, boundaries, governance, territorial claims, and the spatial dimensions of conflict and cooperation. Economic geography looks at production, trade, labor, development, and the uneven distribution of wealth. These fields overlap because political decisions influence economic opportunities, while economic systems shape the power of regions and states. For an introductory reader, this connection is important because it clarifies why geography matters in public affairs. Borders affect movement, trade, citizenship, and security. Development patterns influence infrastructure, education, health, and employment. Globalization links distant places through supply chains, migration, finance, and communication, but those links do not benefit all places equally. Trudnik approach, consistent with the educational purpose of the series, helps readers see these issues through spatial relationships rather than isolated headlines. A trade route, an industrial region, or a disputed boundary can be analyzed by asking who controls space, who benefits from location, and who bears the costs of uneven development. This topic broadens the book from local cultural and demographic patterns to the larger systems that structure global human geography. In conclusion, Human Geography for Dummies is best suited for high school students, college students in introductory courses, AP Human Geography learners, educators seeking a concise supplement, and general readers who want a structured overview of how geography explains human society. Its practical benefit is clarity. It helps readers learn the vocabulary and organizing questions of the field without requiring prior academic training. The intellectual benefit is that it reframes familiar issues, such as migration, cities, culture, politics, and environmental change, as spatial patterns that can be interpreted systematically. Compared with a standard textbook, the book stands out for accessibility, direct explanation, and its focus on helping readers enter the discipline rather than mastering every debate within it. Compared with popular geography books that often emphasize travel, maps, or geopolitics alone, it gives a broader survey of the academic field, including culture, population, urbanization, human-environment interaction, political organization, and economic development. Its value lies in being a bridge text. It is detailed enough to support coursework and exam preparation, but readable enough for independent study. Readers looking for advanced theory or original research will need additional sources. But those seeking a reliable foundation in human geography will find it a useful starting guide. If you would like to support Kyle Trudnik, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.